morning's scripture reading will be taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. And it reads, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken."
Good morning. Man, we got a good crowd again. Everyone must be back from vacation. So forth. A couple of announcements before we get started. Thanks again to our visitors for being here. Really appreciate that. Several of you may be your first time. If so, welcome. Please come back. If you're a returning visitor, keep coming back. We're glad to have you. I need some help. I'll tell you why I need some help. I'm sitting at a table right here in our yard where I've been putting out this sign that says free Bible studies and free Bible classes. There's a slight problem. If you can read that sign, you can see that I draw like a third grader at best. I need someone with some kind of artistic ability on a piece of cardboard, or a poster board, I should say, to help me out make a better legible sign. It's basically got to say free Bible classes and free Bibles. Doesn't have to be anything more than that. But my handwriting looks awful, and so maybe that will have a little more help as we sit out here and try to get some Bible studies and hand out free Bibles. So that's it. Last announcement I've got is Jackie reminded me about the information that we're sending to our college kids. For the letters of encouragement and so forth. I believe the deadline is going to be next Sunday for that. So see Sandra or Jackie or Juliet when she gets back. But that's it. I hope you're still there in Deuteronomy chapter 6 as we begin this morning. I want some of us to go back. Some of us will have to go back a little further in our memory. Some of us will have to go back to maybe yesterday for this illustration. You ever remember your mom or your dad saying, "Go clean up your room"? Anyone's parents ever did that? Yeah, my mom did that all the time. You know what I would do, especially if I wanted to go outside and play some basketball? I would pick up my stuff off the floor and I would throw it in my closet. And I would trouble getting my closet shut, but I would work it in there, I'd make sure it got back in the back, and it'd be off the floor and it would be in the closet and it would be closed, right? Mom would come in and she said, "Man, you cleaned your room mighty fast." She said, "Let me open up your closet." And she'd open up the closet and you know what would come out? All the junk I had just thrown in. She said, "You didn't clean up your room." And she's right. I didn't. I just did kind of a shoddy job of just trying to get her off my back. You know how well that worked for me? Probably about as well as it worked for you. It didn't work. It's no different with God. Notice that in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 17. Moses, as he is talking to the children of Israel, who are about to go conquer the land of Canaan. They are finally about to get this land that God has been promising them for 400 plus years. This land is about to be theirs. And he's reminding them before they go into the land, he says in verse 17, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he commanded you." They might say, what in the world is diligent? What does that mean? We're going to define that in a second. But I want to say something. I've been making this point in our high school class downstairs as we've been going through, and I'm going to show you why we're going to talk about this today. But the point that I've been making to our high schoolers is that you cannot please God by accident. Pleasing God takes diligence. God says, be diligent to keep the commandments. What's it mean to be diligent? Merriam-Webster defines it this way. One, it's a persevering application. It means you keep doing it. But the second one is the one that we think about the most. It is the attention and care legally expected or required of a person as a party of a contract. You know, we say when maybe you're trying to figure out, should I take this job? Should I move to this place? Is this a kind of loan that I should take? You know what you do? You do some research. And you find out everything you can about it. We say we did our due diligence. What was required? We did the best that we could to find out all the information given. God says, be careful, be diligent to keep all my commandments. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Why is this even important? Well, as we were going through the book of Deuteronomy in our classes downstairs, I just couldn't get over how many times it said this. Look at me in Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're not going to look at every verse in particular. I just want to hit a couple to start with this morning. Look at verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Moses says, "Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Don't forget the things that you saw. Tell others about it. Keep them diligently. Keep your soul with care." Look at verse 15 of chapter 4. "Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully, since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire." Take heed to yourself. Very careful. Would you just get on the edge of a cliff and be very nonchalant about it? Be very careful. You'd be looking down. You'd be making sure you have something to hold on to. Be very careful that you don't forget what God has done. Look at chapter 4, verse 23. Moses again says, "Take care, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Don't forget the covenant. God made an agreement with you. Don't forget it. For your God, the God who made the covenant with you and with me, He is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God. He accepts nothing less than our best. Don't break the covenant. Look at chapter 8 and verse 1. Moses says, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers." How much of the commandment do they need to be diligent and careful to do? All of it. Not just some. Not the parts that we like. But all of it. Look at verse 11 of chapter 8. "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God." Now how would you forget? "By not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes which I command you today." When we don't follow, we forget. We ignore. Take care lest you forget. And the final one that we want to see from Deuteronomy is chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. And this is one where you can see the most of the intermingling of this diligence and care, because some of your translations, when I read it, will say diligence. Look at verse 22 of chapter 11. "For if you will be careful," my translation says, your translation may say diligent, For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all His ways, and holding fast to Him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you. And you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves. We get the point, right? It takes care to please God. Think the New Testament talks anything about that?
That's the Old Testament. Man, that's Moses. Man, he's talking to the children of Israel.
New Testament does. We're going to look at the book of 2 Peter. We're going to look at four things in the book of 2 Peter where we are told to be diligent. Yeah. And so I want to ask this question. Am I being diligent? And all the PowerPoint slides will have me or I. Because this is a very personal thing. I think I may have said this before. Sometimes we get comfortable in numbers. Our church is doing this, we're doing this, we're doing that. Are you going to stand before the Lord with the church? Every man will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14 says. The question this morning is not, are we being diligent? The question this morning is, am I being diligent? Does that make sense? Let's go. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter's an old man by this point. Peter's going to tell us in a minute he's about to die. Peter says, I want you to know some things before I die. Look with me, begin in verse 5, and ask yourself, am I being diligent? Am I taking care that I grow? Start with me in verse 5. For this very reason, and the very reason that he's talking about, is that God has made us partakers with Him in the divine nature. He's blessed us beyond measure. He says, because of that, verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort. Or some of your translations will say, be diligent. The idea is, give it everything you got to do what? To supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Am I making every effort to grow my faith? My knowledge, my virtue, my moral excellence, my character, my perseverance in the Lord where I'm getting steadfast, I'm getting more and more strong and more grounded. Am I growing my love for my brethren? Or am I just sitting there kind of dormant, a little bit complacent? Where, you know, that's what I've been doing for a long time. This is who I am. This is what I do. He says, make every effort. I'm reminded of kind of the parable of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 5. I won't have you turn there. I just want you to think about this. The Lord said, I had a vineyard. I love my vineyard. He went, he toiled, he did all this work in his vineyard. He even put a guard or a press around this vineyard to take care of his vineyard. But it didn't grow up. God did all kind of work. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 5, you'll see that. God made every effort possible to get His people to do. You know what they didn't do? They didn't obey.
And the question is, how much effort am I putting into my personal growth? Am I pleased with where I'm at? Or do I feel like I need to do more? I need to have more knowledge. I need to have more perseverance. I need to have more love. He says this, he thinks you're yours. This is not, okay, now you get faith. Okay, so I got my faith. Check. Okay, now I need to add virtue. Check. Okay, now I need to add, it's all of them. We need all of these things. And notice what he says. Notice that in verse 8. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, that's it. Just to have them is not good enough. To have them and increase them is what is wanted. I remind you of the parable of the talents, right? Jesus gave parables, gave one 5, another 2, and another 1. What did the guy with the 5 talents do? He grew for 5 talents more. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. What did the guy with 2 talents do? He grew 2 more talents. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. What did the guy with the 1 talent do? He still had it buried in his yard. He had it. But did he use it? Depart from it. Just having it doesn't do it. Am I making sure that I'm broken? He says, if you are, you'll never be ineffective. You'll always be fruitful. There'll always be something growing. You'll always be working in the Lord, and that will be ideal. That reminds me of what Jesus says in John chapter 15 when he is talking about I am the vine. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Notice what he says in verse 2. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit is taken away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. The idea is, if you're bearing fruit, God's making it where you're going to bear more fruit. But if you don't make any fruit, you're no longer in Him, and He's going to cut you off and be thrown into the fire. Am I being diligent to grow? Remember what He says, if you lack them, look at verse 9. And if anyone lacks these qualities, if he doesn't have it all, if you got no love, or you got no brotherly affection, or you got no knowledge, and you've been a Christian for a while and you got no knowledge. He says, you know what you forgot? You're so blind, you forgot your complaints from your former sin. Called blind. Don't be that person. Be diligent to grow. That's point number one. Thing number 2 comes in the very next verse. Make every effort to grow. Now read with me verse 10. Therefore, brothers, and this is one of those fun notes as a preacher. Therefore is there for a reason, right? Usually because of the thing that was just said. Therefore, verse 10, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided to you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You need to make every effort because if you don't have them, you're not going to do it. So you be all the more diligent. You take all the more care to practice them. That you put them into action, that you are growing them. If you do this, you'll never fall. It's not that you won't ever sin, but you're not going to fall from the graces of God. You're not going to be severed from Christ as we just looked at the vine. You will always be there with Him. And what it will do is it will provide a rich entrance. Some of you say an abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom. The idea is you don't just barely make it in to heaven.
The Bible talks about Christians walking worthy of the call to which they're called. And we sometimes don't see ourselves as worthy. I think that's right. Luke 17 would say, we're just unprofitable servants. We just did what was our duty to do. But you know what? When we do what God asks us to do, in His eyes, we are worthy. And so it's not that, oh man, you just got in by the skin of your teeth. We do what He says. There is a huge entrance into the eternal kingdom. If I'm not practicing it, then I can't make my calling and my election sure. Many of our friends in the denominational world, they'll say, once you're a Christian, oh, you're done. You're saved. Nothing can ever happen for you to fall. Is that what Peter says right here? Peter says, be all the more diligent to practice these things so that you will never fall. Don't give up. The second part is Peter is going to give diligence. Look at this in verse 12. Therefore, again, it's there for a reason. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. And I think it's right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. Now notice verse 15. And I will make every effort, so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Was Paul just going to, or Peter just going to leave these guys hanging out to dry? He was going to give diligence. He was going to give every effort to make sure that they had this information. You know why? When he did that? When they already knew it. And they were already doing it. Seems like that's a waste of time, Peter. Why are you telling us something we already know? Why are you telling us something we're already doing? You ever thought that while you're sitting out on the pew, maybe? Man, why are we listening to this? Man, we know this. Because we need to take care for that. We'll talk more about that when we get to point four. The idea is we need to make sure, I need to make sure, that I'm practicing these things to make sure that my calling and election is sure. It's not in question. The Lord wants me. Number three. Go to chapter 3, verse 14. The third thing we need to do is we need to make sure that we are found without spot and blemish. Therefore, oh wow, there's another one of those, right? He's just talked about the world is going to be destroyed. The heavens will melt with fervent heat. And he's just said in verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, some kind of slowness, but He is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what He wants. He wants everyone to come. He says it's going to be a day when the whole world is destroyed. So verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace. When Jesus comes back and the earth is destroyed, how do you want to stand before Jesus? I'd like to stand at peace. I don't really want to be an enemy of Jesus, since I know that 2 Thessalonians 1 says He's going to come with vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord with his angels with flaming fire. I don't want any part of that. I'd rather be at peace, right? How does He say to be at peace? To be found without spot or blemish. We know that we can be washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. And we know that the perfect Lamb was a Lamb without spot or blemish. Here's the question for me. Am I doing my best to be spotless and without blame? I'm just going to run.
4 different commandments. And this is just to get your brain thinking. I love the song that we sang a minute ago that Ed sang, "Take Time to Be Holy." Sometimes we get in a rush and we're just going, we're going nonstop. And on top of that, sometimes we just get, man, this is what I've always done. This is what we do. This is how it's done. Take time. We'll slow down a little bit. This is one thing I want to think about. Slow down to think, am I doing my best to be found without spot or blame? First commandment, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. You ever spouted off at somebody? Mouthed off to them? Last time I checked, that's not good for the building up. It's not really giving grace to them, right? And take care. James says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. How careful are you with your words? Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 12. He says in verse 36, I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. How much thought and care do I put into my words? I had a baseball coach. This man, he is the epitome of this. You would ask him a very simple question. But he would sit there and he'd rub on his chin. He'd look you dead in the eye and you could tell he was thinking about what he's about to say. Every word was calculated. He wanted to make sure that he was slow to speak. He would say that over and over and over and over again. Am I a Peter where I just spout off? Or am I careful in my speech? The second thing comes from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. But sexual immorality, and I'm going to emphasize this, all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Am I being diligent in staying away from all things that are not pure? Or do I put it into my head watching the movies and listening to music and reading the magazines and going to websites? Am I being diligent? Peter says in 1 Peter, he says, be vigilant, knowing that a prowling lion, the devil, like a prowling lion, he's seeking those to devour. The illustration's been made, and I think it's a terrific illustration. What would you do if you had a lion, right? Say you caught a lion, you trapped a lion, one randomly comes up here in the church. You got an 8-year-old kid, you got a 13-year-old kid. Are you going to put that lion in the room with your 18 or 13-year-old kid and shut the door? No, because what's going to happen? That lion will kill that kid. You know how often we bring the lions into our living rooms and into our bedrooms and into our iPods? We're playing with lions. Be diligent to be found without spot or blood. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, where he says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Am I trying my best to count somebody else more important than me? Whether that's family, whether that's somebody at work, whether that's a neighbor, is that person more important than me? How do you take care of that? And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, from the King James, Paul says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Is my dress
that which is not immodest? How diligently am I making sure that I'm dressed properly? Do I think about what maybe someone else is going to think when they see me in this outfit? Do I think about that? Or do I just think, man, this looks cute? Wow, man, this makes me look good. This is beautiful style. How diligent am I to be keeping these commandments? When the Lord comes, we want to be without spot and blame. Are we willing to put the effort in that? And the fourth point, as we close out, go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, if you're still there. It comes in verse 17, but I actually want us to start at verse 16. Talking about Paul in verse 15, he says, as he does in all his letters when he speaks of them on these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do other scriptures. You, therefore, and there's our word again, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own soul. Am I being careful to not fall away? There are some passages that are difficult. And there are some passages that our friends will twist. They say that's an impossibility. Oh, yeah. They're going to twist them so you're going to be taken right away. You just go right on with it. That's a hard one. Who can understand it? Last time I remember someone saying, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Remember what they did? They walked away, John chapter 6. But Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, there are these things where we have to take care of ourselves and make sure I'm not falling away. But he says, take care not to be carried away, but what's the solution? Look at the next verse in verse 18. Take care that you are not taken away, but verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. How do you make sure you're not being carried away? You're not losing your own stability, your own firmness? You grow in the Lord. You grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Do you know what that means you're going to have to do? You're going to have to read your Bible. You want to be in your Scripture. And it's not just going to be like, oh man, I got to read. You ever feel that way? Man, I gotta read my Bible today. Man, I know I should read, but I just got so much else I need to do. You know what you're not doing? You're not taking care. It's just like, oh, that Bible. Who needs it anyway? I go to church. We talk about it at church. We got Bible class at church. I don't need to read my Bible. Yeah, you do. And there's a difference, too. I'm just gonna make this point. There's a difference between reading and studying your Bible. We need to read our Bibles. We also need to study our Bibles. What is it saying? There's a huge difference between that. And if you don't understand that, come talk to me later and we'll talk about that. I need to read my Bible. I need to be familiar with it. I also need to study it. I need to be there. And it's daily. You see that in Acts chapter 17 about those in Thessalonica. New American Standard says, now these in Berea were more than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness. Oh man, we got to read it again. Oh man, Paul's about to speak. No, they received it with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. When was the last time on a Tuesday you were still looking up a scripture that was talked about on Sunday? Or on Monday of something that was talked about on Sunday? That doesn't happen as often. I mean, it does happen sometimes. It's a daily grind.
And grind kind of gives it a negative connotation, but it's not negative at all. It's part of the Christian life. Because you know what happens when we get carried away by lawless men? We lose our own stability. You know what we didn't make sure, we didn't make steadfast? Our calling and our election. We lose our hope of eternal life. Let us be diligent people to grow in the Lord. And secondly, that we be diligent people who, I'm drawing a blank on point number two right now. It's verse 10 of chapter 2. Man, I got to look at chapter 1. Man, that is a brain freeze if I've ever seen one. Oh yeah, to make your calling and election sure. You got to do your best to make calling and election sure and remember what your points are. And the third one is to be found without spot and blame when the Lord comes and at peace with Him. And the fourth is to make sure we aren't carried away. That we do our due diligence to find out what the truth is. Maybe this morning you've not become a Christian. And you're ready. You're ready to submit to the Lord. And you're ready to give your life over to Him. And you're ready to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Don't delay anymore. Because who knows when the world's going to end? It may happen here at 3 o'clock this afternoon. It may happen thousands of years from now. Or maybe you haven't been diligent in your walk with the Lord and in your growth. And you're saying, you know what? I'm going to take more care to do what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to grow. I'm going to live the way I am. Remember, we don't please the Lord by accident. It takes decisions and it takes choice. You're subject to the Lord's invitation anyway. Why don't you come back?